be?
Some interesting things going on in the sporting world. Baseball, they've got, man, their fascination with balls is kind of nuts. As they, now they've got some more prototypes out there for the pre-tack baseballs. And, you know, we had Eno Saros on earlier and he's talking about, well, one of the big problems is now is that young people are coming up through high school and college using this stuff. So they're accustomed to it. And so now all of a sudden they can't. Well, what do? So it's a little bit of a problem that baseball itself and that people within baseball are encouraging, right? If you're going to have all the sticky stuff and then now they want to take it away at the majors, well, so much of it's going to be mental for some of the pitchers if all of a sudden it has to go away. And so I get why the pitchers, I thought they've had some valid arguments. We saw a massive increase in blisters amongst pitchers because of the ball, right? Yep. And so now they're testing some prototypes with the Mets have received some of them. The Dodgers have also, same with the Giants, and they've got, you know, some pre-tacked baseballs just to see if that's better. Like, I don't, in 2021, like, can't they just, it's not like I look at the NHL pucks aren't changing every year, right?
No.
They're not.
No.
So why can't you just come up with a baseball? Okay, this is the good one, and that's it. There's nothing you have to change. Just go from there and use it at all levels.
Exactly. It's this continued drama. I mean, it was a big deal a couple months ago. We talked about it. The pitchers showing their displeasure with the umpire crews and, you know, showing if they have anything on their body that would be sticky stuff or illegal substances, foreign substances, whether they were hiding it. We saw some pitchers, like, pull off their belts, drop their pants just to make a show of it. And here might be a solution. And they've been using it in Japan, a pre-tack ball. Korean Baseball League's been using a pre-tack ball. And then on top of that, Griggs, there's some pitchers that played at the Olympics, and they had a pre-tack baseball. Joe Ryan, one of them, plays for the Twins. He says it's the best baseball he's ever touched. So maybe finally we might put all of this drama to rest, and they come up with a solution. MLB owns a part of Rawlings that creates the baseballs. They've been playing and experimenting with different formulas and types of baseballs. Obviously, we've heard some batters complain about them. We've had some pitchers complain about the baseballs in recent years, about how much pop is in them. Maybe some of this gets put to rest. And it's been fun to watch. I mean, the theater that some of these pitchers have put on has been entertaining. And when they get into it with the umps, it's always fun to see. But at the same time, it's just been pointing fingers at one another, complaining, and now maybe finally a solution. If some of these MLB guys that were over in Tokyo and thought that this was a solution and the best baseball that they've ever used, maybe this puts all of this to rest, which would be fantastic, or at least most of it to rest, because I'm sure there's going to be some. There's always some that will always complain, right?
Oh, yeah, no question. And in any walk of life or anything like that. But it would be nice just to get some continuity. I think there's some valid complaints from the players, but just come up with a new one, and then you don't have to change and try to get all the stick'em and everything else involved in that. The NHL, kind of a quiet time, Tommy. Broussard signs with the Philadelphia. And I will say this, man, of all the divisions, when I look at it, man, the Metro Division is shaping up to be an absolute battle. You got Washington and Philly and Pittsburgh. You got Carolina, who's a very good team. The Islanders have been in the Final Four the last 2 years. The New York Rangers are an upstart team. Columbus, I don't think is going to be that good, but they've always worked hard. And New Jersey has made some, you know, moves that, you know, I like their young goaltender. They bring in Dougie Hamilton. They've got some pieces. I don't think they're good enough to get it, but the Metro Division, even though the Atlantic has Boston, Tampa, like their top four teams, I just look at, I don't know if there's a division that's as competitive 1 through 6 as the Metro.
Yeah, this might be the juggernaut in the National Hockey League this year. I mean, the Central has a couple good teams. Pacific, we've talked about it, generally weaker, but Metro will be interesting to watch. I mean, it'll be a gauntlet for these teams to run through. And, I mean, you're right about New Jersey. They might be at the bottom. Columbus might surprise. I don't know how they'll do with their new head coach. But this will be a fun division to keep an eye on. And who knows what happens, who comes out on top, what injuries come into effect. But all these teams either are loaded or have been loading up. And as we realign into normalcy in the National Hockey League, that's one where day in, day out, we're going to be watching going, did you see that game last night? Oh, my God. Metro Division, crazy. Did you see Philly-Pittsburgh? Did you see Washington-Pittsburgh? Washington-Philly? Carolina-Philly? And I feel like every night that we're at the rink, every day that we're at the rink, we're going to be keeping an eye and talking about that division because it feels like it's just ramping up. And then we'll see what happens in the other three divisions and how they stack up against the Metro. But it's looking good right now in the Metro, so I like it too, and nice to see things getting back to somewhat normal, if you will.
Yeah, it's like that division I think is going to be competitive. I'm not sure they have a dominant team in it per se, right? Mm-hmm. So competitive, yes. I would be surprised actually if the Stanley Cup winner came out of the division. Funny enough, as competitive as it is, I'm not sure. Like I see some weaknesses. I think the team I'm most intrigued by of all of them is Philadelphia. Because 2 years ago, Philly looked like they were just kind of chugging right on upwards. And then obviously yep. last season was a major disappointment for them. I think Carter Hart can bounce back, no question. We had him on the show. We talked pretty openly about the challenges of isolation and maybe he didn't deal with it as well as he could have. But, you know, I look at their offense. They've got lots of offense top to bottom. Joel Farabee's a really good young player that not a lot of people talk about. On defense, though, they added Ellis and Ristolainen, you know, Yandel, you know, big overcheck. Now, Yandel's a third line guy, but man, he can help you move the puck and offensively mm-hmm. should help their power play. Like, I like Philly a lot. And I think Philly's going to be the team that surprises. And I'm picking them right now to make the postseason.
I like it. They should have been better last year. And we'll see what the Capitals have left. We'll see what the Pens have left in the tank. We'll see if Carolina can continue to push up the way it has and continue its trajectory despite losing Dougie Hamilton. The New York teams, I think the Islanders maybe take a tiny step back, but we'll see. And again, the Rangers are an anomaly to me because remember we were talking even kind of towards the stretch run where we're like, could they make a push for the playoffs? And they obviously didn't make it happen, but the Rangers are an interesting team. Maybe the retinkering or rebuild, whatever you want to call it, is a little bit ahead of the curve. And you're right. It's going to be an interesting division. I'm curious to see what's left in the tank for Pittsburgh and Washington, to be honest with you.
What do you make of Vegas? They Marc-Andre Fleury, how much of a loss? And even Reeves, just, you know, I know Reeves maybe just as a player, but he added a lot of, hey, guys, like, hey, we got the biggest dog in the dog in the, you know, when you get in the outside the kennel, per se, yep. if you need it. He's gone. Alex Tuck is injured, but he'll be back for the postseason. They've added Dadonoff and then, you know, some younger guys to come in trades that basically they got younger guys who are trying to find their way in Howden. And Nolan Patrick, but do you think Vegas? I think Vegas took a step back. What do you think?
So do I. I mean, obviously, you got the Vezina winning goalie that you ship off for nothing because I think they waived the minor league player they got in return from Chicago last week. So essentially, they just gave away Marc-Andre Fleury, and so they're going to be a good team still. I mean, don't get me wrong, Mark Stone. Tremendous player. Obviously, they've got Riley Smith, tremendous player. Marchessault, tremendous player. Carlson has been excellent the last few years. Their defense, rock solid. They bring back Martinez. I still think that they're going to be at the top of this division in the Pacific. I think Edmonton will be competing there with them. But it's weird because of the amount of turnover in Vegas over these last 4 years since they've been a team in the National Hockey League. And I wonder if that'll start to get to guys. And they might wonder, if you think you're a pillar on the team that's built up an excellent start, 3 conference finals in 4 years of existence. And I'm wondering if some of the guys that feel like they are pillars on the team and are expecting to be there for a long time might be looking over their shoulders. And if that creates any type of concern and lack of trust, if you will, because they think that they might be the next guy gone, even though they think they're comfortable or should feel comfortable in there. And that's the weird circumstance that I'm looking at with the Golden Knights is like how they've just turned over tons of guys that you thought would be there for a while. And I think your example of Ryan Reeves is a perfect one. He was loved in that community. I think he started his own brewery, Greg's, in Vegas. And he was a popular guy off the ice there. and they ship him out. So I think that that might be one of their downfalls. But still, you look at that roster and you go, that's a hell of a team.
Dave Tippett turns 60 today. Spoke to him a few weeks ago. He was just celebrating it quietly out at his lake cabin. That's what he wanted to do. He didn't want anything big. Now, Dave Tippett is in the final year of his contract, his choice. He's said he wants to go after this. He's kind of going to go year by year to see how things are going. So you look at Dave Tippett. A year from now, Tom, do you think he's still the head coach of the Edmonton Oilers?
I'll just say yes. I mean, I like that and you know him better than I do, actually, and he's got a method to the way he goes about his business. And when he even said it on his postseason wrap-up press conference, he's like, well, I got a year left. We'll take it day by day and see where we go. But I think that there's going to be enough success here. I think that the lack of success in the postseason, I think some of that will go away this year. I think this is a team, Greg's, that could get into the second, potentially third round. And if to him that's enticing to go after it a little bit longer and people here generally are satisfied, then, yeah, I think he'll stick around. But there's a couple of guys on that bench that have been head coaches before. I'm not saying that they're going to push him for the job or anything like that. But say he wanted to step away, there's already options in-house. And add to the fact Jay Woodcroft is making a name for himself as a head coach down in Bakersfield. But, you know, at this point in his career, he's done a lot. I know he wants that big silver trophy that they give out usually at the end of June, but this year it was later than that. But I'll say yes. I'll say that they'll have a good enough season that entices him to stick around and people will be satisfied. I could be eating my words this time next year, but I think yes.
Yeah, it's an interesting one for sure. Obviously, they've got to win at least the playoff round. I think that's safe to say. No question about it. And kind of it'll depend on where he's at. He talked very openly about it. He just said, you know what, if he still has the hunger and the thirst for it, then he'll you know, if they still want him, then he would continue to coach. But, you know, hey, 60 years of age, you know, he turned 61 next year. He's got lots of other interests. He just feels like, you know what, at this point, you don't want to commit. And then all of a sudden in the final few years of a contract, be like, meh, I'm not into it. So it'll be an interesting one to look for. And I look at Edmonton, like there's no question in his 3 years now as head coach, this is the deepest team he's had.
Yeah.
And so there, obviously with that comes more expectation that they got to take a step. I think everybody listening would agree. You got to win at least one round. They got to be in the Elite Eight this coming season for sure. Otherwise, you're wondering, and I don't, even if they lose in seven games, irrelevant to me. You got to win a round at some point.
I can't argue that at all, especially watching these last two postseasons where they've won one out of their last, 11 or 12 or two of their last 12 postseason games total, going back to the second round of 2017 against the Ducks. There's been no playoff success. And for the fan base, disheartening. We hear it on the postgame show. That game three collapse, that postgame show was just unreal. People were pissed off, and rightly so. And when you say there has to be playoff success, no question. And I think everyone internally in that organization is feeling it. Us in the media, we expect it because they've built this team up. It's going to be the third year Ken Holland and Dave Tippett are together. And then on top of that, the fan base is sick of the disappointments and the heartaches. They got teased in 2017. It's a matter of doing it now, and enough of the hot talk, because the hot talk has gotten them a couple of playoff losses in the first round, and that's no longer acceptable. So getting to the playoffs is the expectation. The bar's already set. Winning a round or two is totally expected and within reason. I think at this point with this roster and everything that this group has experienced, we should be talking about the second round and still be going to games, covering people going to the building, watching those games, seeing if they can push for a third round berth.
Tommy, have a good one. Enjoy the dance song tonight.
Sounds good, Greg. Talk to you tomorrow.